Did Danny say whether his grandmother has a formal Thanksgiving?
I don't know. There are a lot of kids, but she lives in the Fab 40s.
Oh, well, your dad and I went to a dinner party once in that neighborhood. The CEO of ISC, that was pretty formal. You're not going to a funeral?
Well, I don't know. What says rich people Thanksgiving?
I just think it's such a shame that you're spending your last Thanksgiving with a family you've never met instead of us, but I don't know. I guess you want it that way. Are you tired?
No.
Hey, Marion.
Hey, Joyce. Hey, how's the baby?
He's crawling.
No, I want to see a picture at checkout.
Okay.
So if you're tired, we can sit down.
I'm not tired.
Oh, okay. I just couldn't tell because you were dragging your feet. Well, I just couldn't tell.
Why didn't you just say pick up your feet?
I didn't know if you were tired.
You were being passive aggressive.
No, I wasn't.
You are so infuriating.
Please stop yelling.
I'm not yelling. Oh, it's
Honey,
perfect.
Do you love it?
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Rescue Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to say, I respect you too much to touch your boobs, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. We respect women in this household.
We do. We definitely do. We do not touch their boobs without consent.
Too much respect.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is the Red Circle Podcast, where every week Perk and I review a movie, usually connected to the last one we watched, or just a movie we've watched before, as we're doing right now. If you like our show, be sure to tell your friends about it. We post every Friday morning on all podcast services. And currently, we are in our string of female voices, so trying to watch movies that have female directors and or female writers. And this week, we watched a little movie called Lady Bird, which is probably one of the top movies in this category, I would argue, of modern time. Perk, why don't you intro it for us?
Yeah, all right. Lady Bird is a 2017 joint written and directed by Greta Gerwig, starring Saoirse Ronan. And it is a coming-of-age story about a girl on the verge of graduating high school in Sacramento, California. Couple little fun facts. Saoirse Ronan did some stage acting with heavy makeup and hot lights, so she had some acne flare-ups, and they decided to not cover those up and leave them in the movie, so it's more, you know, realistic as like an actual teenager rather than all the coming-of-age movies where everyone has flawless skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great choice.
Yep. Greta Gerwig, apparently, when she was growing up, was the entire opposite of Lady Bird and was very straight-laced and played by the rules. And when directing the prom dance scenes, Greta Gerwig wore a prom dress.
I love that.
Gotta get in character.
The piece of trivia of her being the opposite of Lady Bird is so interesting to me because this movie feels so personal, and I would love to know what Greta's relationship with her mom was. You know, if maybe this movie is like everything she wished she could have said, or maybe not. I don't want to like project or assume too much, but it definitely feels like a personal project
for her. Yeah, so I suppose since I've seen this one, Jacob, how'd you feel about it?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic movie. I thought it was so well written. Performances were insanely good. Everyone felt their age, which, you know, is a common problem in these types of movies where you get in these like 25-year-old actors to play high schoolers, you know, and you just like don't buy it. I thought everyone definitely felt like a kid, and I really loved, I mean, the core of this movie is the relationship between Lady Bird and her mom, and it's just impeccably well done. You feel the love and the like frustration between them and the tension between them, and just like how fast it can switch, I think is so fascinating to watch. But yeah, no, I just loved it. I think Greta absolutely knocked it out of the park in this project. What about you? Was it, do you have different feelings on the rewatch?
I don't love this movie.
Oh shit.
I know.
With the hot takes.
I know. I didn't love it the first time I saw it, and I'm in the same boat this time. We've talked about this, but it's another one of those like coming of age type movies where the peripherals are fantastic. Like, I think this is like the best acting I've ever seen in a coming of age movie. I think the direction is really good. But the story just doesn't do it for me. Mm. It's just so run of the mill, cookie cutter, like, you know, white suburban girl on the verge of college. And there's just, it's, So, you know how I complained about how in Booksmart, none of the characters feel like real people, you know? Like, they kind of feel like almost like caricatures or what, you know, some writer thinks high schoolers are like.
Sure.
This movie has the opposite problem, where everyone feels incredibly real, very on brand as like high school kids, and it's kind of boring for that. Because not to say, you know, I'm not saying every movie you need to drive through a fence with your Mustang at the end of the movie climax, but just a lot of it comes off kind of dull. What I love about this movie is the acting. I love the interplay between the characters, especially, like you said, I think the relationship between Lady Bird and her mom, and also her dad, those relationships are great and feel very real, but the story's just a little dull. It feels like the same story we just keep seeing. I mean, it's just a lot of the same beats, right? Like, she's got the friend who's not popular, but they love each other forever, and then she, you know, breaks off to go hang with the popular kids, but realizes she really wanted to be with a friend in the end. And
I will, that definitely is a tried and true. But I will say, in this movie, they didn't beat you over the head with it. You know, like, it wasn't like, you knew it was happening. They didn't have to explain it. It was just like, it just kind of happened without a whole lot of like dramatic, like explosions of emotion, right? We have like the one kind of scene with her and Beanie Feldstein outside, but like, that's it. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I feel like we've talked before in this podcast about movies where the plot is simple, but all the little details are so good that it doesn't really matter. I think this is one of those for me where, yeah, like, I've seen this story before to some extent, but also I haven't seen the relationship like with her and her mom shown on screen as well. And this is a weird movie for me to watch. I don't know if it's because I'm just getting older, but this is the first time that I've watched a movie like this, and the main character is so clearly wrong a lot of the time. Like, I wrote it down because it just made me laugh. Like, one of the first lines of this movie is when they're driving in the car, and Lady Bird says, "I wish I could live through something." Like, in 2022, her saying that is just, like, the funniest thing. It's like, yeah, we just went through the pandemic. That shit sucked. You don't want to live through anything. But, like, she thinks that she's, like, in this sheltered life, and if she just experienced something exciting, that her life would make sense. And we know that's not true, right? And I love how, like, dramatic she is of, like, trying to, like, make this exciting life for herself. And this is one of the first times where, to me, I guess maybe just more obvious than, like, oh, you're just so innocent and you just don't realize it. Because a lot of times I feel like when I'm watching these movies, I'm rooting for the character and they're saying things that I would agree with. And she does say things maybe that I agree with, but, like, I felt more like the mom in this movie than Lady Bird, I would say. Even though, you know, I can't agree with a lot of the mom, what a lot of mom says and does. But I don't know. It's just, like, it just hit different this time. I could really see both sides of her character and both sides of her mom's character more clearly than I usually do.
Sure. No, and I think that the central family dynamic, including with Miguel and Shelley, I think everything in their household's really good. I think that a lot of the side characters are a little weaker. That's fair. I think it's a weird one, because I say this movie's a little slow and kind of dull, but I think they needed to expand a little bit on some of these other characters, because Beanie Feldstein's character isn't really a character. She's just the quirky friend.
And who has a crush on the math teacher.
which I love that, too. That's good stuff. And then, like, Lucas Hedges' character is better fleshed out, but, like, them meeting and then dating and kissing and I love you is, like, a total of, like, 10 minutes. Because this is a shorter movie, so it almost feels like kind of a bunch of moments glossed over. And, you know, like, oh, there's the bad boy, Timothée Chalamet, who is also great, by the way.
Just super edgelord, you know. God, it's so funny to watch.
But, you know, his character is pretty much just like, you know, preachy edgelord, like outsider guy. And I think that they maybe she sacrifices a little bit the side characters for the main family dynamic, which I think is probably a good call based on the time frame they were working within.
Yeah. So if you compare this movie to Booksmart, right? Booksmart is like zero family dynamic, right?
Right.
But that allows them to spend, like, every side character is fleshed out, you know, and has, like, a setup and payoff. Where, yeah, you're right. In this movie, they don't really have time for that. And maybe I would like a little bit more. Like, even the popular girl character is, like, a nothing character.
Yeah, she's just popular girl, pretty much. But
they have the one conversation that's kind of interesting where they talk about Sacramento, and the popular girl's like, oh, I love Sacramento. I never want to leave, you know? Which is, like, yeah. I want to kind of dig in that a little bit more. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think there are some sacrifices made, but at the end of the day, I think the family dynamic is so strong, and it's worth it. And like you said, the mom, but also the dad. The dad stuff is so good and so sad at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that conversation in the bathroom where first she asks her mom about sex, and her mom's like, well, you know, probably college and use protection. And then she's like, why is dad's name on the pills? Like, does he have depression? And she's like, he had depression for years. And it's like, oh, man, dude, like, this feels like, this is rough because it feels real, you know? And
yeah.
He always is in a good, like, he's always in a good mood for her. And then when they have that fight where her mom calls her out for having him drop her off like a block away from school, and I was like, oh, God, dude, this is, it sucks, man. It's so real, you know?
Yeah, no, and it's just like, it's the little things, like, you know, that scene where she asks him to drop her off, you know, a couple blocks from school. That scene happens a lot in movies, but they never really, you know, dig into, like, oh, that hurts his feelings, like, that kind of thing. And
And
I think, you know, like, the side characters aren't really well developed, but they're not, they're more just there as, like, walls to bounce the main characters off
of. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, because it's more of, like, an actor showcase for the central few characters.
Right. And I do want to touch on Lucas Hedges, because I think his performance was so good, and honestly, I did not see the gay twist coming at all. I mean, I probably should have with the I respect you too much, but I just thought it's like Christian boy shit, you know?
Yeah.
Not necessarily that, but that twist, but that combined with the conversation they have outside the coffee shop where she's like mad at him. She's like, what do you want? And he's like, oh, this. And then he starts crying, and it's like, man, you feel for him. And you can see her switch and be like, hey, like, it's okay. Like, it'll be fine.
I
love that.
I think he's great. I mean, I think he's a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
All the way back from, what, Manchester by the Sea?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's also in, like, some old Wes Anderson movies and stuff. And
he's done a ton of shit.
It's kind of coincidental, the twist in this movie, because I think he was the main character in like, a movie that I never saw because it looked just really unpleasant to watch, where, like, he's a preacher's kid and he's gay, and they send him to, like, Pray the Gay Away camp or something.
Oh,
and,
God. Yeah.
Yeah, so sounds like it'd be great. He's a great actor, so I'm sure it is great. I think Joel Edgerton's the dad, so it's a recipe for success, but God, do I not want to watch that movie, you know?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's called Boy Erased.
Yeah.
The movie came out in 2018. Yeah, it sounded like a fun time.
No, go on.
No, yeah, I loved it. I liked, like you mentioned, there's like the little touches movie when they're stargazing, you know, and it's like laying on the grass and the name Bruce, whatever. When we pan out and we see their next to each other, but she has her leg crossed over his, that just like was a little tiny thing that I'm like, I love that. Like, you can kind of feel their affection for each other, and it just felt like a very real moment, and I don't know, it's just like a little thing that really elevated it for me.
Yeah, I think this movie nails down the minutia really well. I just think it's like, it's playing within the boundaries of a little bit of a trope, you know? So,
sure.
It excels at what it does, but I mean, if I were to rewatch a movie, I'd probably rewatch Booksmart before I rewatched Lady Bird. I don't know.
Just like fun factor.
I think this movie's far better directed, and I think far better acted. They each have their own. Yeah. It's hard to compare, even though they are just, you know, both girl at the end of school type within the same framework. But yeah, there's differences. So I suppose I won't compare them directly, even though that's all I've been doing for the last 15 minutes.
I mean, it's a easy comparison to make, right? They're very similar, you know, movies. But yeah, another thing I wanted to touch on was some of the comedy in this movie. The scene where the JV coach has to direct the play.
Yeah.
He's like giving them numbers to like, you're coming down here and this is the light is singing. All right. So you're not singing yet. You're staying put. That shit killed me. That was so funny. There's a nice bounce of comedy in this movie overall.
This, I think this movie does comedy really well, because, I mean, it's funny comedy. Like, it actually got, like, loud laughs out of me, whereas, you know, like, there's comedy where someone gets hit in the face with, like, an iron or something, and it's like, that's funny. This movie's really clever. It's fairly witty, especially Lady Bird, the main character. She's quite funny, so.
Yeah, and then her scenes with the, I'm not sure the correct term, like, the head nun, I guess, are like in her office, I think, are so good, and how the whole movie Lady Bird's like, I hate Sacramento, and the nun calls her like, I think you love Sacramento, you know? And this whole time of like Lady Bird trying to be, I don't want to say edgy because that's like Chalamet's thing, but she's trying to be more interesting, right?
Right.
And not really taking a look at herself. And I liked that angle, right? Like you said, there's a lot of coming of age movies, but it still felt fresh to me, or it felt at least very, at least well done. And I think the way the movie ends, I think is really poignant, where it's not necessarily her like deciding to come home, right? And like, oh, I had it back home all along. It's just like, hey, like I had this thought and I want to share it with you. And she's realizing that like New York isn't everything she thought it was. It was just a nice way to end it.
I will say, I loved the ending. Absolutely loved it. I loved the scene at the airport too, where Laurie Metcalf, it's almost like just a one shot of Laurie Metcalf driving around, and it's just, when she breaks down. Yeah, it's so good. Laurie Metcalf kills it in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely kills it.
But come on, man. Is it every single coming of age movie that someone at a party throws up when they're intimate? I laughed out loud when that happened, because I'm like, you're kidding. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I thought I was too busy laughing at the fact they called 911 and they brought her out in a stretcher when she was just drunk. Like,
yeah,
you know. But that's a great point. Oh man, we should talk a little bit more about Laurie Metcalf, because my god,
sure. Yeah,
she just murders it this week, and like
heap all the praise.
It's for me, it's the switching. It's the back and forth of they're fighting and they're loving, right? Like in the Goodwill. When I think they're trying to find not the dress for prom, maybe it's a dress for homecoming. I don't know.
Yeah, no, sorry to cut you off, but yeah, that scene where they're like back and forth, and you know, Lady Bird's like, oh, I love this, and the mom's like, no, that's so ugly. And she's like, you never let me wear what I want to wear, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then she grabs him and she's like, oh my god, that's so cute. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's us. And it's like, they nailed it. Like, it's just, God, it's so good. And then the second scene in Goodwill, when she's like, I just want you to like me. And her mom, like, very, like, has a response very carefully. She words it very carefully because she never says that she likes her. And it's hard, man. And then I do like the dad's kind of perspective, being like, well, she loves you so much, it just doesn't, you're so different, she doesn't know how to help you, and it frustrates her. Yeah, it's just, man, so dumb. And Laurie Metcalf just kills it. And yeah, that combined, too, with the scene with her and the father at the hospital. Like, because I think there's a scene with Lady Bird and Lucas Hedges outside the cafe, and then at the same time, she's with the father, and you don't know what's going on with him, and you don't really need to know. But
yeah, it is a nice little parallel, that scene.
Yeah.
A nice juxtaposition.
This is a good movie. All right, I don't know what it is. We're smoking over there. This is a great movie.
So, this is another one. This is like Moonlight for me, where I don't dislike the movie, but like what should be a 99 is like a 91. You know, so like Lady Bird for me probably should be a 93 and is like an 83. You know, so. Yeah.
It's like me last week with Virgin Suicides. I'm like, this is a good movie. I just don't particularly like it. Like, right. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
Different strokes, different folks.
I had one more little inkling that I've just kind of like realized as we've kind of been on this path is coming of age stories. The ones that make it big in Hollywood are very white, it feels like.
Yeah.
So maybe we can try and get in a couple. I think there are a few on that list we put together of, you know, people of color. Coming of age. Yeah. I mean, we did Moonlight, which is, you know, coming of age, but it's such a different story because it's so rarely told. Whereas so often we get the coming of age where it's a suburban white kid on the verge of graduating high school.
Yep.
So
yep. No, I know. I wanted to watch it when we were doing the Black Voices, but it wasn't on streaming back then. But Dope just got put on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And that's one I've heard very good things about, and I really want to watch. But yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's because, and I think because white kids have the privilege of coming of age in like a relatively structured environment, right? I'm not to say like every single non-white person doesn't, but like the white person coming of age story is very palatable and easy.
And
so it's just easy to make, you know.
I'd imagine a lot of the people writing in Hollywood, which is a very male-dominated, white-dominated industry, yep. You know, and people write what they know, like the Virgin Suicides, right? Which is kind of a coming of age about suburban white women, and it's
yep.
Well, that's because the writer director's a woman who grew up in privilege, you know. So yep. People write what they know, and a lot of the industry is very white and very male. So I guess that maybe that's why we see so many suburban coming of age type movies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely happy we're getting more female stories. And you have Booksmart, you have this one, you have Edge of 17, which I don't know if you said you've seen or not.
I haven't. My brother loves that movie because he loves Hailee Steinfeld.
I'm right there with him. Yeah, it's a great one too. But so I'm definitely glad we're getting those. But I agree. I think we do need more coming of age towards people of color that aren't
at least
like animated that aren't animated movies. I feel like it's kind of a cop out. Because I mean Spider-Verse, right? Incredible, right? But yeah, no, I'd definitely love to see some more like live action great coming of age stories. But yeah, we should definitely watch Dope at some point because
we can dig around too because we're not even not even halfway done with this string. So
yeah, no, we gotta finish this one out and then we can mess around a little bit more. But as far as recommendations based on this, Booksmart was the only one I thought of, and we talked about it a ton. So that's kind of a cop out.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a slam dunk.
And I'll say Edge of 17 too, actually, because like that one. Definitely, that one leans more on the comedy.
Okay.
A little more because Woody Harrelson plays her teacher, and he's just the best. Love Woody Harrelson, but yeah, that is our review of Lady Bird, and that means it's time for some bonus reviews. Perk, you got one. I got one and a half.
Okay.
So I'll do my half one first. I'm watching She-Hulk, and I'm liking it. You know, it's a funny show. All right. It's the sitcom of the MCU, and they're definitely going like that route and just more of a comedic, you know, it's a legal comedy as they're calling it, and it's just a fun time. CG, not that bad.
Are you sure you're not huffing copium and it's garbage?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
All right.
It's light fare. They have fun cameos. Like
sure.
The one from the episode today was hilarious. Yeah, I'm curious to see where it's going on like the overarching plot for right now. It's just it's a fun time. So if you're an MCU fan, you know, definitely check it out.
Fair enough.
What'd you watch this week?
I watched Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi?
Yeah.
You mean Taxi Driver?
No, it's a video game from the Sega Dreamcast.
All right. I've heard of Crazy Taxi, but I was confused. I'm like, it's not a movie.
Yeah, it's about a cab driver named Walrus Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And he drives around and there's criminals and he hangs out with a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
You're really not putting it together, Jacob.
I'm lost. I'm lost right now.
I watched Odd Taxi, the show you told me to watch last week.
Thank you. I'm sorry, dude. I think I had so little faith you're actually gonna watch it.
You told me I had to.
I know. And
the last time you told me I had to watch something, I watched it.
I appreciate you. You're a good friend.
This has been a one-way street.
I will watch Detroiters once it's on an actual platform, all right?
Paramount Plus sucks ass. It's a Paramount property.
Well, knowing the way that things are going, Paramount will get bought by somebody, and then I can watch it finally.
Brought into some fold.
What'd you think?
I loved it. I think, it's just shy of perfect, storytelling-wise. I don't like anything to do with Kakihana. I think that whole storyline kind of sucked. Lame and boring, and I was not invested, but everything else was great.
Did you watch it in English or Japanese?
I watched the dub. The dub is great.
Okay.
For anyone who was wondering, I mean,
yeah.
The dub is very, very well done. There are a lot of.
How did Yano? How did his dialogue sound in English?
Yano is.
The rapper guy.
It sounded good.
It sounded good? Okay. Because it sounded really good in Japanese. I'm like, I hope they can translate this. You know, and it works well.
No, Yana was good. At first, I was like, what? But
yeah,
once he gets into it, it's like, oh, yeah, no, it was handled really well.
Yeah.
So, which means that someone actually wrote a dub rather than just translating.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, the voice cast is great. There are a lot of voices I recognize from other things.
Okay, cool.
But the theme and the story and the plot are just great. And I think even if you're not a weeb, you should watch this one if you can. It's probably not available on anything other than Crunchyroll.
Yeah, it's only on Crunchyroll, unfortunately. But
And the twist, I actually, my brain was heading in that direction.
Because there are little hints.
They set it up really well.
Not making sense. Yeah, and it's, God, it's
like,
so
I'm not going to spoil it because, you know, anyone listening, you should go watch Odd Taxi because it's, of the three animes I've ever seen, it's top two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which would mean a lot more if I'd seen more animes. Like, if I had seen 50, it'd probably still be top two.
But you've watched good anime, so like, you know.
Well, I've watched a good anime and a classic anime, so.
Yeah, the first half of the last episode, I was losing my mind on the couch. I'm like, oh my God, this is what they're doing. It all makes sense.
Incredible, dude. It wasn't something where it felt like, you know, like jaw-dropping surprise. More like your brain was like, yes, the dots all connect now. Like one of those.
It's so satisfying.
Yeah, definitely. And like the last three episodes, they kind of just like shove Kakihana off to the side, which works for me, dog.
Yeah, no, it's funny you mentioned him as like the thing that you didn't need. To me, it was the Homo sapiens.
Oh,
it didn't really go anywhere. Like it was fine.
They don't really contribute to much either. I suppose their whole storyline is tangential and never really ties back.
It just ties back in that the one guy is dating the girl.
Yeah.
But that's it, you know?
Right.
But, part of me thinks they should just be done, but I also kind of want a season two, but I also don't know what that would be.
So
the very last beat, I'm like, why would you do this? Just make it be, make me so happy.
Well, see, I'll talk to you after we go off the air, because,
no spoilers.
Great, great anime, definitely worth the watch. Yeah. Oh, the animation's great too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. It's great. What I do want to ask you: what did you think of the episode? I think it's episode 4. That is just one character's story the entire time, just like his entire backstory.
Oh, I thought it was goofy. I thought it was I was okay with it, but it was a little bit dramatic, and I thought it was pretty funny. And I liked how it tied back in, and there were little things they tied back in at the end that I had totally forgot about. It's like, oh, okay. But yeah,
the reason I asked this is because I feel like it was fine. It kind of killed the pacing, and not killed the pacing, but it really slowed down the pacing.
It did kill the momentum. I'll agree with you because like you're building a story, and then you cut it off entirely.
Yeah, and like they get back to it right away, because I think the ending of the episode is really strong. Like when he finds the thing in the park, I'm like, okay. We're back. But, like, it's funny because I look on IMDb, and that's, like, one of the highest-rated episodes. I'm like, really? Like, it's a well-done episode, but it's just, like, I wanted to be still in the world following, you know,
the next driver. I like bottle episodes in general. But, like, it was just a little too off-topic. Obviously, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it ties back in. I think that the fact that they had introduced that character very briefly before that episode...
Yep.
Was helpful because that gave you like a spark once you got to that scene. But yeah, it did feel odd, but it's creative enough that I'm okay with it. You know,
for sure.
I'm always down for trying creative things. So throwing an entire pivot to a backstory character backstory episode of one character, I'm around it.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it's definitely a show that once you see the ending, you kind of want to rewatch it and look for all the clues. Like I'm tempted to go back and watch it again just for that reason, because not only the major twist, but also just like how the actual story ends, like solving the mystery, I guess, of the main mystery. Even that, I'm like, okay, I kind of want to figure out where all the clues were, because once you find out like the rule, I guess I'll just say that, it's like, okay, how were these characters acting then? throughout the story. It's just, yeah, it's just so well done, so well paced with like adding in new information, and yeah, fantastic. Well, good. So that's Odd Taxi. Yeah, definitely check it out if you have the ability to. I also watched an anime this week, a little one called Tokyo Revengers. I'm gonna assume you have not heard of this one.
I've heard of it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it was going. It was coming out at the same time Odd Taxi was actually.
Okay.
Last summer, but. For the listeners, the premise is you have a 20-something guy who's just a piece of shit. You know, he's got a job that sucks, and he's just laying around. His apartment's dirty. You know, classic setup for this kind of anime.
I'm in this picture, and I don't like it.
He's watching the news, and he sees in the news there was some gang violence, and some people, innocent people died. And one of the people that died was his middle school girlfriend. And he's like, oh, shit. Like, I haven't talked to her in forever, but, like, that was my middle school girlfriend. Like, this is fucked up. And then he dies. He gets pushed onto some subway tracks, and the train hits him, and he dies. He wakes up 12 years exactly to the day back in middle school. And, you know, he still has his 20-something-year-old brain, but he's in his middle school body, and he went back in time. And yada, yada, yada. He basically, the story is basically him trying to prevent the death of his middle school girlfriend by joining the gang that ended up killing her and trying to change the events of history in order so that the gang doesn't end up killing her. And it's just a really fun story to watch. I was hesitant because it's very close. The genre is very close to isekai. I don't know if you'd call it isekai, but isekai is a genre of anime that I really don't like, because you take this loser character, like the guy I mentioned at the beginning, and the typical trope is that they get sent to like a video game world or some other fantasy world, and then they become like a god immediately, and everyone loves them, and they have no character development. They just kind of get rewarded without anything. It's like, oh, I was shitty in Earth, but in this fantasy world, this is where I was meant to be, like that kind of bullshit. But Tokyo Revengers does a great job of actually having character development for the main character and him deciding, I need to change, or else the events will play out the exact same way they did when I was actually a kid, and this will happen. So I need to, you know, have more willpower and become stronger, that kind of classic anime stuff. But yeah, it's just really good. And like, everyone around him, I mean, they're in a gang and they're fighting constantly. He never, you kind of would expect or would want him to like get buff and start and get good at fighting skills, but he doesn't. Like, that's not what the story's about. It's not him just beating the shit out of everybody. It's him trying to change things kind of through sheer force of will and just being kind to people, honestly. And yeah, it's just really nice. And I would say Odd Taxi is like S tier anime for me. This is definitely like A tier. Like, it's super solid. There's just nothing. It's just missing a little bit something. And sometimes the animation just isn't great. Like when there are fight scenes, it's like, okay, resources were not put into this fight scene. just kind of the way that the frames are going. But you know, I really enjoyed it. I'm curious to see how long it goes, because the first season's 25 episodes and it covered 77 chapters of the manga. And I thought they were gonna finish the show in one season. And then I look, and the manga is like almost 300 chapters long. It's like, oh, okay. So this is like a very long story. I'm curious if they'll be able to finish the whole thing. But and I hope it doesn't get stale, because it's the story perk is kind of like he changes something, he goes back and see if it fixed. It doesn't. He goes back and changes something. You know. So it's like, how long can you do that and keep it fresh?
Right.
But yeah, it's just a great time. Characters are fantastic. I will say it's a little bit unbelievable. Some of these middle school kids are doing, in a gang. I'm like, okay, you guys should be in high school if you're going to be like doing this kind of stuff, like beating the living shit out of people. but yeah, it's just, it's a great time. I definitely would recommend it.
All right.
Yeah. So that's Tokyo Revengers. All right. That is our show for this week. Next week, we're still on the train of female voices. We're going to be watching Girl Interrupted. Winona Ryder and Angelina Jolie starring in that one. Our connection is actually the director James Mangold, who directed 310 to Yuma, which we watched not too long ago. So we do have a connection on the pod. But yeah, I don't think I've actually ever seen a Winona Ryder project, because I haven't watched Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
So I'm curious to see if she does. But yeah, Girl Interrupted is on HBO Max for next week. So yeah, watch it with us. And until next time, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.